Let's just lift our hands one more time. Lord, you are so worthy. Lord, you are worthy. We serve an awesome God. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. You can go ahead and be seated tonight. The title of my message tonight is What Hell Cannot Handle. What hell cannot handle. The church is often referred to as the old ship of Zion. And hell cannot handle it. This month we've been speaking on the topic of the church. And I believe that in order to get saved, you need a church. And in order to stay saved, you need the church. The church is our shelter in the storms of life. The church is our armory where we come to resupply ourselves when we are depleted in battle. It is our resting station. It is a life-saving station. It is an oasis in the middle of your desert. It's our port in the midst of the storms of life. And oft times, as I said, the church is referred to as the old ship of Zion. There was an old song that was written, and it was, the words go like this. I was standing on the banks of the river, looking out over life's troubled sea, when I saw an old ship that was sailing. Is that the old ship of Zion I see? Its hull was bent and battered from the waves of life, from the storms of life I could see. Waves were rough, but that old ship was sailing. Is that the old ship of Zion I see? At the stern of the ship was the captain. I could hear as he called out my name. Get on board. It's the old ship of Zion. It will never pass this way again. As I step on board, I'll be leaving all my sorrows and heartaches behind. I'll be safe with Jesus, the captain, sailing out on the old ship of Zion. These old songs are well, I love the meaning, so some of these and the intent of the writers, but one thing that if I could tonight add to this, the church at many times may be compared to the old ship of Zion. Even though the church may be some 2,000 years old, and yes, you may feel battered and beaten down, but the old ship of Zion, this church is far from being defeated. This church is the most powerful force on the planet Earth. This church is the most feared force in our world today. The most feared force on the earth is the power of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ. What gives this church the power that it has is because it is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's through His blood. It's through His Spirit that is within us that gives the church the power. There is power, power, wonder-working power in what? In the blood of the Lamb. And who is the Lamb? We read in Revelation 13:8 that Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. In John 1:29, John the Baptist introduces Jesus and he says, "Behold the Lamb which taketh away the sins of the world." There is a fountain that is filled with blood and it's drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Emmanuel meaning God is with us. All sinners plunged beneath the flood lose their guilty stains. When we look at the blood of Jesus Christ, it is a natural birth. The blood cells in the child come from both parents and is determined at the time of conception. But however, when you look at Jesus Christ, it did not happen this way. He did not have a natural conception. He did not have his father's DNA. He was not conceived by an earthly father. The Bible says, and the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, and she conceived and brought forth a son. The blood of Jesus Christ was not contaminated. It was the most precious blood that the world had ever known. For so much as ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as gold and silver from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the precious blood of the Lamb without blemish and without spot, the blood of Jesus Christ is free from sin. He was tempted in sin, yet he did not sin. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ as his son cleanseth us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. When we look at Jesus, you have to understand. If you look at yourself in the mirror, as I look at myself in the mirror, I can see some of John Grant in me, and I can see some of Darlene Smith in me. I have some of my father's DNA, and I have some of my mother's DNA. I have some traits from my father, some of the stubbornness from my father, and I have some traits from my mother, some of the stubbornness from my mother. I don't stand a chance Jesus inherited some things from his mother and other things from his father. Certain things came about from his mother's side, and some things came about from his father's side. The same is true when we look at Jesus. On the mother's side, he was a son of man. On the father's side, he was a son of God. On his mother's side, he was a seed of Abraham. But on his father's side, he was before Abraham. On his mother's side, he was a seed of David. But on his father's side, he was the root of David. On his mother's side, he was physical, but on his father's side, he was spiritual. On his mother's side, he was temporary, but on his father's side, he was eternal. On his mother's side, he was some 6 foot tall, but on his father's side, he fills all time and all space and all eternity. On his mother's side, he preached the word, but on his father's side, he was the word. On his mother's side, he walked by the Sea of Galilee, but on his father's side, he walked on the waters of Galilee. On his mother's side, he says, I am hungry. On his father's side, he fed the 5,000. On his mother's side, he got his body, but on his father's side, he got his blood. On his mother's side, he was some 33 years age, of old age. But on his father's side, he is the Ancient of Days. The blood of Jesus Christ is not just a defense against the enemy when the enemy attacks us, but it is our spiritual battering ram for busting through the strongholds of Satan and setting prisoners free. We are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are healed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are delivered by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are protected by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we overcome by the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, the church, is something that hell simply cannot handle. I look around at many of our churches today, and they have a blood problem. They are anemic. They're weak blood. They have a deficiency in their blood. There's no blood in their preaching. There's no blood in their songs. There's no blood in their testimony. There's no blood in their veins. And they wonder why they don't have victory in their lives. They wonder why they don't have any power in their church. They wonder why the devil is not threatened by them. No wonder why the churches are dying from the inside out, and they have no impact on humanity anymore. It is because they have a blood issue. And if a church has a blood issue and the blood of Jesus Christ and is not applied in the church and over the lives of the people in the church, then Satan has no fear over them. But in a church full of the Holy Ghost, and a church full of the blood of Jesus Christ that is doing its work within the church, then it is a church that hell simply cannot handle. We read in Revelation 12:11, and they overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The life of the flesh and the life of the body. The flesh is in the blood. The life of the body of Jesus Christ, the church, it is in the blood of Jesus Christ. John 6:53 tells us, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Or our only claim to victory over the devil, the only claim to victory over Satan, the only claim to victory over the powers of the darkness in this world, is the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. I know tonight it may sound a bit old-fashioned to you. It may sound a bit outdated to you, but the victory and the power of the church is not just in how it worships. It's not just in how it prays. It's not just what type of preaching that comes over the pulpit, but it is how the church applies the blood of Jesus Christ. The victorious, the overcoming, undefeated army of the Lord is a people, is a church that is soaked in the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood is a power that our enemies fear. It is a power. I say, church, we are a power that... How many of you feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost in the place tonight? It is a power. It is a power that hell simply cannot handle. Since before there was time, Satan had tried to get a grip on this power. He tried to overthrow heaven. He wanted and declared to have control over this power, but it was far too much for him to handle. Since the beginning of time, all the way back in the Garden of Eden, Satan had tried to control God's creation, tried to control mankind, and through influence and through power over mankind, mankind fell into sin. And all through the Old Testament, Satan tried to destroy mankind as he has tried to destroy the people of God. And I tell you tonight that God has always had a church. God has always had a people. God will always have a people. Whether you are one of them or not, God will always have a people, and he will always have a church. This year, I believe in the history of our church. This church in Madison is 70 years old. I believe that God has some powerful things in store for us yet this year. I believe that God is moving, God is changing, and God is saying to us as a church, church, I want you to come up hither. I have some powerful things. I have some wonderful things that I want to share with you. I have some awesome things I want to show you. I have some powerful things in store for you. Please, church, come on up and join me, and let me show you from my viewpoint, from where I'm sitting. I want to show you some things, but I believe that some of us, God is having a most difficult time getting us to move out of our comfortable zone and where we are. Some of us have been sitting out there on the fringes. We enjoy watching from a distance to see what happens. God has not called us into the kingdom of God to be spectators in his kingdom, but he has called us into his kingdom to be participators. When we look and how the prodigal son, he left his father's house and he spent all that he had on riotous living and worldly, sinful living. And he found himself in a pig pen of life, desiring to eat the same food that the pigs were eating. Perhaps that is where you are tonight. You've had better days, and your life has led you to a pig pen, and you find yourself eating the same slop that all the rest of the other pigs are eating. But the Bible says, and then he came to himself. This means the person that he was acting like was not really the person who he really was. And church, I believe that we as a church, some of us as saints of God, we need to have one of those come to Jesus moments in our lives. We need to stop looking at the world and expecting things to get better. Things are not going to get any better by the standards of the world. But the church, I believe the church is in its final hour, and God desires that his church to live in total victory. We're not just a few scattered people doing our dead level best to hold on. If we can just hold out until the end, Jesus will come sooner or later. As the old song says, if we can just hold the fort, if we can just hold it down, if we can just keep the enemy at bay one more day, maybe we'll survive until the rapture. The church, we are not just a bunch of leftovers. We are not just a bunch of beaten down people. We are not a bunch of people that are past our prime in fighting, who wish of the days gone by. But if I believe, and I believe in the book of Acts, I believe when Acts 1:8, it tells us as a church that ye shall receive power. And after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses to me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And in Luke 10:19, it says, behold, church, I'm going to give you power. I'm going to give you power to tread upon serpents. You can tread upon the enemy. You can tread upon the alcoholism that's been plaguing you. You can tread upon the drugs that's trying to take and mess and destroy your life. You can tread upon the serpents and the scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing! Nothing! Nothing means zero! Shall by any means hurt you. As we look through the pages of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, we find a record of men and women that overcoming victories through Christ Jesus and in Christ Jesus. They refused to be defeated by the forces of evil. They were a powerhouse for God. They defeated the forces of hell. We are not here on the planet Earth, church, just to maintain and survive. We're not here just to blend in. We're here to take over. You understand what I just said? We're not here just to survive. We're not here just to maintain. We're not here just to blend in. We are here to take over the kingdom of Satan. As a church, we have the authority. We have dominion. The power of God is here, working in our lives, working in this church, right here, right now. Luke 17:20-21 says, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, that you could look and say, lo here and lo there, or, oh, here it is. No, wait, God, he's over there. But no, for behold, the kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God? It is within you. It is within me. And where I go with authority and I go with power. Where we as a church goes, when we go out into the streets, it's something that hell simply cannot handle. Do you believe that tonight? When the church is walking in holiness, covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are baptized in the power of the Holy Ghost. This church is the greatest force on this earth. They've tried to burn it out. They've tried to flood it out. They've tried to beat it out. They've tried to kill. But the blood-washed church, it's still alive and it's still marching forward. We are shaking the gates of hell. We are a force that hell simply cannot handle. If you want to understand that the church is a force to be reckoned with, then we need to go into 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he. Greater is he that is within you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The secret of our power is the power of the blood and the power of the Spirit that dwells within us. You want power tonight. You want victory tonight. You want to be a force that hell cannot handle tonight. Then you need his blood and you need his Spirit in your life, because without it, you will never overcome your problems you have in your life. Galatians 2:20 tells us that we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live not, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, a power greater than us, a power greater than what I possess, lives within us. When you say greater than what? Greater than he, Jesus Christ, than Satan, than he, that is in the world. He that is in the world is the devil. When you look at Satan, when you look at the devil, I see he can go by a lot of different names. He can go by drug addictions. He can go by pornography. He can go by lust, sickness, disease, poverty, depression, and suicide. But let me tell you something. My God is greater. My God is greater. If you got heart problems tonight, my God is greater than your heart problems. You have cancer tonight, He's greater than your cancer. You have sugar diabetes, He's greater than your sugar diabetes. He's greater than your kidney problems. He's greater than your acid reflux. He's greater than your knee issues, your back pain. He's greater than the sins that come against you. He's greater! God is greater, and He is a power that hell cannot handle. We were created to exercise that power and authority over the enemy. We were given the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and wickedness in high places. We were commissioned as well as commanded to cast out the enemy. Mark tells us that we're to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Excuse me, it probably wouldn't be too helpful or too bad to preach it to every preacher as well. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. This is written to us, church. This is written to you and I. This wasn't written for them back then. It was written for us. We are the church. We are the church. What does it tell us? It says, in my name, you can cast out devils. In my name, you can speak with new tongues. In my name, you can take up serpents. In my name, you can drink any deadly thing, and it shall not hurt you. In my name, you can lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Listen, church, we have been given the tools. We have been given the power, and we have been given the authority. And sometimes, I often wonder when Jesus spoke, when He spoke to His disciples. I'm amazed at times how the surroundings made such a difference when He was talking to His disciples. We find Jesus in Matthew 16, 13 through 19. We find Him all the way down, far away from Jerusalem, far away from the center of worship for the Israelites, for the Jewish nation. And He was very particular, I believe, in choosing the surroundings. I love history, as most of you know, and I love to look at the scripture from historical context. Why did Jesus pick certain places to do certain things? Why? I've often looked at this passage of scripture much different than how I'm going to approach this tonight. I'm not trying to start a new theology. I'm just saying, I just began to look at this and I thought there must be a significance as to why He went all the way to Caesarea of Philippi to have this conversation with His disciples. Why couldn't He have had it in Jerusalem? Why couldn't He have had it in Nazareth or Bethlehem? Why Caesarea of Philippi? And they said, reading in Matthew 16, when Jesus came unto the coasts of Caesarea of Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They replied, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elias. Another say that you're Jeremiah. Some say that you're one of the prophets that has come back from the dead. But Jesus said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Jesus really was not that interested as to what the rest of the people thought. He was curious as to what they may have thought and the disciples' opinions of what the crowd was or what public opinion was. But what Jesus really wanted to know was, who do you say? Who do you think that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, and we have preached messages after messages on this, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter had some special analogy. He had an insight. And Jesus answered and replied unto him and said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, or also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound, or whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now we need to look very carefully where Jesus was standing when he made this statement. Look at where Jesus was when he asked his disciples, whom do the men say that the Son of Man am, and whom do ye say that I am? As I said, Jesus had taken his disciples on a somewhat out of the way place. If you look at Caesarea of Philippi, it was not a place of worship of Christian or of Judean worship. It was not a place where the Israelites came to worship. It was not a place where they had a temple and they worshiped Jehovah God, but it was a place, it was a center of many different types of worship. It was a center of Syrian worship. The nation of Syria had a worship center there here where they worshiped to their idols and their gods. It was a place where that the Grecians had met, and the Grecians had taken and built gods to the empire and to the Grecian empire and all different types of gods. It was a place where the Roman Empire had built multiple buildings and temples and such that were to the great Caesars and such, where that they could come and they could worship. It was scattered around about with temples to worship the ancient god of Baal. Just outside of Caesarea Philippi, there rose a great stone hill that had a deep cavern, a natural cavern that came out of it, and there was water and springs abundant in the area, and it was the birth or the beginning or the headwaters of the Jordan River. It was also a place which was the birthplace of the Greek god of nature, Pan. And at Caesarea Philippi, they had a tremendous temple that was built in honor of all the Roman gods. It was a place where evil was worshipped. And it was worshipped in abundance. Now I know that we've heard this preached many different ways. And as I was preparing for this message and God brought me to this passage, he also brought me to a passage that was found in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 2. And I'm reading about the church of Pergamos. If you look in Revelation chapter 2, you have the church, the Pergamean church. It was a church that was in the ancient city of Pergamos. It was a center of a number of satanic cults. But in Revelation chapter 2, Jesus tells the church at Pergamos, I know thy works. Listen, church, I know thy works. I know where you are dwelling. I know that there is evil all around you. It goes on to say that you are in the very center of Satan's seat. You are not just in a place where Satan dwells, but you are in a place where Satan is powerful. You are in the midst of a very sinful and a very wicked city, but God placed a church. God placed a group of people. God placed a blood-washed God placed a blood-washed church in the middle of the city of Pergamos. It wasn't just a city where evil was. It was a place where evil was perpetuated and grew. God had a blood-washed church. Holy Ghost-filled people in the center of a stronghold of Satan. Now looking back at Matthew 16, Jesus is talking to his disciples. Jesus is facing this wicked city of Caesarea of Philippi. It is a place that is a sinful place. It is a place that is full of sin. And I believe that Jesus purposely chose this spot, declaring to his disciples, look around you, men. Look around you. God is looking at us here in Madison, Wisconsin, and he's saying, church, look around you, church. Look around you. Look at your surroundings. Look at what is surrounding you. Look where I have placed you. Look at all of this evil. Look at all the powerful satanic forces that are ruling in this place. They're not just ruling, but they're strong. And Jesus, he says, I brought you here. I brought you men here. I brought you here, Peter. I brought my disciples here because I want you to understand something. When he said, upon this rock. Interesting. According to Jewish history, the Jewish historians tell us that it is quite possible when Jesus said, upon this rock, he was actually standing upon the entrance of the very temple of worship to the satanic gods. It was a natural entrance going into a natural cave. The rock was some 100 feet wide and 500 foot tall. Might it just be possible that Jesus was trying to tell us that I'm going to pick out the most degenerative spot that I can find. I'm not just looking for a sinful place. I'm not just looking for a place where sin abounds. I'm not just looking for a place where sin is powerful, but I'm looking for a place that is the very seat of Satan. And he says to Peter, when you go out, when you leave this place, when you go out to spread this gospel, I want you to go to the absolute worst place that you can find, and I want you to plant a church. The apostles, when they left, after the day of Pentecost and the Holy Ghost was poured out and the gospel began to spread, they went into some of the most sinful cities known on the planet and they planted a church. He says, I'm not just looking for a sinful place. I'm just looking for a place where sin abounds, but I want a church planted where sin is powerful. I want you to go out into the repugnantly degenerated places. Places where God is not yet even known. I want you to go to places where they've never heard of the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to go to the places that make Caesarea of Philippi look tame. And that is where I want you to build my church. In the cities of the unholy, in the cities of the impure, in the cities where sin abounds, build my church. If we apply this to us today, church, here in Madison, Wisconsin, on the very steps of evil, the very steps in our community. We go down to the university and there are monuments built to education. There are all kinds of monuments built all across the University of Wisconsin. They're serving gods of humanism. They're serving gods of education. And God is saying, this Calvary Gospel Church, this is where I want you to plant my church, right in the middle of where sin abounds. He says, I want you to go where sin is powerful. I don't want you to just go into the nice decorative neighborhoods that got the 3-car garages and the boat sitting out in the driveway. I want you to go in the neighborhoods that are full of drugs. I want you to go into the neighborhood where alcohol flows on the streets. I want you to go into the neighborhoods where the young girls are sold into prostitution. And it is there, Peter. It's there. It's there, Calvary Gospel Church, where I want you to plant my church. And the gates of hell, and the gates of hell, you can stand to your feet and our musicians can come, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hell cannot handle a praying church. Hell cannot handle a fasting church. Hell cannot handle a church that worships. Hell cannot handle a church where the blood of Jesus Christ flows freely. Hell cannot handle anointed saints. We need to become a church that hell simply cannot handle. The old song, The Church Triumphant, says, I'm talking about the church in the book of Revelation. It's built upon the rock. It's got a firm foundation. It's been through the flood. And it's been through the fire. But one of these days, this church, it's going to move up higher. Why? Because it's a church that hell can't handle. It's been through the storms, but the wind couldn't turn it. It's been through the fire, and the fire couldn't burn it. It's been fed to the lions, but the lions couldn't eat it. It's fought a lot of wars, but it's never been defeated, because it's a church built on the blood of Jesus Christ, and hell simply cannot handle it. Tonight in your life, I got but one question to ask you. Is the blood applied in your life? Without the blood, Satan will run right over you. He doesn't care how much you worship. He doesn't care how much you pray. You can fast for 40 days and he don't care. But the minute that he sees the blood of Jesus Christ on your life, he can't handle it. Problems with alcohol, you need the blood. Problems with drugs, you need the blood. Church, we need to be powerful. We have a lot of work ahead of us. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what God is going to do. I believe that the blood heals our bodies. If you need a healing tonight, right down here on this side. I don't care if you come down for healing 20 times. Come down 21 times. I don't care if you've been down here 30 times. Come down here 31 times. I don't care. Because the blood can heal. You've never received Bible salvation. You've never been baptized in Jesus' name. You've never repented of your sins. You need the blood in your life. When Jesus Christ comes back to his church, if you don't have the blood applied in your life, you ain't going nowhere. That's the fact. You gotta have the blood. You've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Right on this side. You want to be baptized tonight? In the middle? You need to overcome addictions in your life? You got problems in your life? I don't care what it is. There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Let's come, church. Let's exercise the flow of blood in our lives tonight.